very sorry I had to come in late. I have another commitment. And so I may be misunderstanding this, but looking at your priority one and priority two slides,
yes.
You focus on the budget, and I understand you have to deal with that every day. Bless you.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks to me like you have, if I'm reading this correctly, the total number of units that would be gained by these two activities, and I believe it's 58 on priority one and 180 on priority two. Is that correct? Am I reading that correctly?
Well, yes, 58 through the new construction of the home,
right.
And then let me go to the CDBG, and so yes.
So that would be about 230
yes.
homes either built or preserved?
Correct.
Okay. Which is great. But do you know what our goal is? Do you know how far short we are?
Our plan reflects the Mayor's Housing Nashville report, and we support that goal of needing to build 30,000 new units by 2023,
what is it, 1,800 that we're short?
18,000.
Yeah. Sorry. That we're short today. So this almost seems like a drop in the bucket, and I don't know of anybody that seems to be addressing, and somebody probably is, how many are we losing every day at the same time that we're gaining this small number? Are we going to be further behind?
Again, one of the big things that I showed earlier, and I don't know if you were here, I think that's where you raised your hand, was we know for sure that we know we're at risk on this slide of losing if we don't preserve the low-income housing tax credits or project-based rental, privately owned. There's over 4,000 that could be lost through the private market. We don't, at MBHA, have a way to capture that.
I don't know who
we cannot
be able to track the private, but the units lost in the private sector.
It feels like to me we're just peddling as fast as we can and going backwards all the time. And I'm glad we're doing something, but it's like...
I think that's been our frustration for the last 10 or 15 years is that we've been losing about 1,000
And that's one of the reasons why I provided this slide to look at. We've never really comprehensively reported on, because what you're looking at in these later slides is what we have to tell the federal government and the public, like what we're doing with these specific funds to address these needs. But these are a much larger, wider ranging that we're going to start capturing and reporting on so that we can paint a clearer picture of what we're doing to the public sector. Again, that we don't have any authority or jurisdiction to require anything of the private sector unless they take some of these federal, local, or state subsidies. Then we can start looking at them. But we are forming a framework of being able to show through these different public sources how we can start addressing and how we're building, how we're preserving, and then some of these other things like rental assistance, providing some housing stability.
You also mentioned, I believe in priority one, that there would be new nonprofit partners that have to go through the BARMS process.
Yes.
And do you know who those partners will be?
We've had several. Whenever we do a funding opportunity, unfortunately, we get at twice as many requests as we have funding available. Some of the nonprofits do not have the capacity to even be considered for funding because of the home underwriting requirements. So these will be ones that we will notify about this opportunity and request them to go through the Barnes capacity building program.
So do you have any that have already done that?
Ten have gone through, and that's why we were able to have an increase in Barnes funding. And the application process is now open until May 31st for the next cohort, in which NDHA is a sponsor of that program. So.
We actually don't expect to have access to these funds until late September or October, so we can get the full congressional release. So we would likely not make our competitive funding opportunity out until the fall. So that would give us enough time to make sure that anyone interested in coming in for this new nonprofit piece would have time to get with the Barnes Fund about this capacity building program. We need as many people out there building. We need to make sure that they have the capacity to do it. We certainly want to support them in every way, and this was the best way we were able to with the very, very strict home money.
Would you repeat what you said about the activities and goals? You said the summer youth program are the most popular.
That is a very popular one because we serve so many youth.
My question is, yeah. Partner with 30 plus or minus nonprofits that must have what kind of components?
They must either have a job skills component or a healthy lifestyle component as part of their overall programming. For instance, if they we have several that focus on STEM, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics academic programs, but we still want them to have some kind of job skills piece or healthy lifestyle piece as part of it.
So you start with 6-year-olds?
6 to 18.
I thought you meant 16. You meant 6.
Age 6.
Okay.
Yeah, age 6 to 18. So they, it's very wide ranging.
This program has been around for how long?
9 years.
Probably around 9 years. Yeah.
So how does this differ from what the mayor's program was?
So again, the summer youth program is very distinct from Opportunity Now. Summer youth is not an employment opportunity. It's more of a skills building, academic building program. Opportunity Now is the mayor's program, and we do fund a component of that for nonprofits that are doing a certain kind of community project for ages 14 to 16. So Opportunity Now is like this big, and our support of it is probably this kind of a piece of it, because it's geared at what, creating 10,000 opportunities for youth, and we create about 150 opportunities through ours. So that just gives you kind of the scale of how we support that. And again, we try to encourage youth living in public housing to participate both in Summer Youth and Opportunity Now. Any other comments or questions? Well, let me go back to the very last slide, and of course you've got it in your packet, that if you think of something between now and 4 p.m. on June the 7th, we will be glad to take your comment and include it in our final report. But again, as we go out throughout the year, we don't just do our assessment right before we start our plan. We're parts of lots of conversations. We're glad to answer any questions. We're glad to come and address groups. We love to get new partners on board. That just means that more people are getting served. So please, if you know of opportunities we have or someone that may be interested in serving and helping us, we're glad to take that information.
Yes, I do have one more question.
Okay.
Are these PowerPoint slides available?
They're on our website, yes. And if you haven't received an email from us, we're going to put you on our list today, and I'll do another reminder email Thursday. I'm out Friday, probably Thursday afternoon, reminding of the public hearing on the 31st. And then I'll add our links to our website, and feel free to circulate that, forward it on to your network. Well, thank you all for coming. If there are no other comments or questions, and please make sure to have signed in. I really appreciate that. I declare the public hearing closed. Thank you.